hearts, O Master, who lovest mankind with the pure light of thy divine knowledge. Open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of thy gospel teachings. Implant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that trampling down all carnal desires we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well-pleasing to thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and unto thee do we send up glory, together with thy Father, who is from everlasting, and thine all-holy, good, and life-creating Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. Attend. The Lord said to his disciples, "Whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" So Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first."
Glory to thee, O Lord. Glory to
thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Liturgical texts for Pentecost last Sunday, you recall, make a huge deal over the many nations gathered in Jerusalem, all hearing the proclamation of the one gospel in their own language. This is like a dominant motif, dominant theme for Pentecost. The backdrop of this miracle of Pentecost is the city of Babel. Then men spoke one language, but it was the language of hubris, in which they presumed to build a tower that would reach to heaven. God descended and confused their one tongue into many different languages, so that they could no more understand one another, and they were scattered abroad in the face of the earth, and the city and its tower were left undone. Against this Pentecostal backdrop of the Tower of Babel, one's attention is caught and held fast by this Greek word that is translated in this morning's scripture lesson, to confess. It's from two words, homo, which can be translated as one, and logeo, which can be translated as word or speech. So the verb form is to speak, homologeo, homologos, confession. My lexicon gives as the primary meaning for this word in its Greek, to speak one language. Moreover, there's a word in the Greek that's left out in its English translation. So if we take that word that's left out into account, and if we translate homologeo, to confess, literally, we come up with a translation that brings out the otherwise hidden Pentecostal substance of this gospel's theological meaning. We could translate it. Whoever speaks one language in me before men, I in turn will speak one language in him in the presence of my Father in heaven. Biblical understanding sees the tongue or the mouth, speech and the heart as a unity. For example, from St. Paul, what we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth. This opens to us a deeper translation of this word of the Lord. And we could translate this morning's gospel like this. Whoever lives in his inner man, according to the word of the Father that is in me, so will I abide in him, and so will he be in his inner man, in the presence of my Father in heaven. Could we say, to bring out the Pentecostal meaning of this word of the Lord, and so will he be in his inner man, in the Holy Spirit of my Father in heaven? Because the presence of God is the Holy Spirit. What then is this language of the Father with which one confesses or aligns one's inner man in Christ, in the presence, in the Holy Spirit of the Father? I think the answer is given in what follows. It's the word of the cross. Whoever does not take up one's cross does not confess Christ. That is to say, he does not speak Christ's language. He therefore necessarily speaks a different language. And it would be any one of the languages that go back to the city of Babel, that all derive from a common spiritual root of hubris, presumption. And they all speak the wisdom of man's own opinions. So why does the Lord illustrate his word of the cross by saying that those who do not love him above their family are not worthy of him? The family, is it not, is a microcosm of that world constituted of all the families of the earth, whose spiritual root grows and develops from the dust of the disintegrated stones of the Tower of Babel outside the Garden of Eden. I would comprehend under family the world created by man, his civilizations and his cultures, his laws, his social norms and moralities, his customs and memes, his heroes and folklore, his histories, his mythologies, his philosophical and religious wisdom, his arts, his scientific and technological learning, and so all the ways, scientific, religious, philosophical, mythological, that he perceives himself and understands how it's all put together, where it all comes from, where it's all going. The family is the earth that I am from. The family is the world that has formed me and shaped me, whose norms and memes govern me outwardly and inwardly. The family is the world that I love. It's because it's what I am. And it's the language of the family that I speak. It's the language of the family that I live, that I confess and live by. And what is this word of the family that is the world created by man? What is its word? Is it not self-interest on the macro level? Self-love on the micro? You hear the statesman from Washington talking about why we're doing this in this part of the world. It's always to preserve or to protect or to promote our self-interests. That's the governing rubric for international politics, is it not? In other words, it's the language of Babel. The language of human wisdom and pride that produces both good and evil. Not only does it produce art and literature, but it also produces what? Enmity, feuds, internal strife and conflict, wars and rumors of wars. The unity of the family as the world created by man. Its unity separates, its communion alienates, because the unity of the family is the tribe over against the outlander. Or in the terms that we recognize in the OCA, it would be the Nosh over against the Juji. The world of the family is the communion of the ghetto over against the world outside. The world of the family comes from the dust, it returns to the dust. As the disintegrated monuments of the great civilizations of antiquity dramatically show, the world of the family is that world that, as St. John says in his epistle, is passing away with all its lusts and vanities. Your faithful, this world of the family is not the world that God created. Because God did not make death. Neither has he any pleasure in the dissolution of the living. He created all things to be. And the generations of the world he created for salvation. That's the word in the Greek, soteria, which you could translate as eternal life. He created the world and everything in it for eternal life, for health and joy. He created it in righteousness, which is immortal, which does not die. The world God created was good. It wasn't good and evil. It was good and even very good. The Greek word is kalos. The Hebrew word is tov. Both words mean beautiful, vibrant, verdant, brimming with life. Now here is a doctrine. A word that is not of this world. A teaching that is not from the schools of the families of the world. This world that God created, so St. John teaches us in his Apocalypse, is rooted in the cross of the Lamb who was slain, as St. John says, from the foundation of the world. From the foundation, kataboli, even from the conception of the world. Because this world, this word, kataboli, doesn't mean foundation in the sense of carpentry or stone construction. It means foundation in an organic way, in an organic sense, in the sense of to conceive. When the man and the woman come together and they conceive, that is the foundation, that is the beginning of the child that has been conceived in her womb. And so this word, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, it draws an icon, if you will, of the creation, that of the creation coming forth from the intimate union of what the Holy Fathers call the spiritual marriage of Christ and his bride, the Church. This marriage that was consummated on the bed, as Augustine of Hippo calls it in one of his most beautiful poems, the bed of the cross. In other words, the world that God created came into being not from out of the hubris of man, nor is the ecumene or the kingdom of the church built up from the destroyed kingdoms of conquered peoples. But what is it built upon? The Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. It's built on the death of God. It's built up from the self-emptying, from the extreme humility of the Word of God from out of his love for mankind. This love of God, for which the world was created. This is the light that was beginning to shine already from the Lord's tomb on the blessed Sabbath, in which and out of which the world of the Church rises. Its seasonal movement, what the world calls time, is the kairos of the Lord, measured not by sun and moon, but by the descending movement of divine love, consummated in these last days on the cross, and by the ascending movement of the love for God of the Theotokos and of all the saints in the glorification of the God-man Jesus Christ, where the phenomenon of becoming in this world of the church, when you become, when you come to be, it's not as in the world of the philosophers, where you come to be in order to pass away. When you become in this world of the church, you become a child of God. And your destiny isn't to pass away. Your destiny is to ascend from glory to glory in an ever deepening intimacy in the love of God that he has for a man, for mankind. To confess or to speak this language of Christ, then, is to leave father, mother, brother, and sister, wife, and lands, in order to embark on the gospel's inner exodus into the tomb of the heart, where Christ God has become perfectly one with us in the dread mystery of his cross and the tomb, even while we were yet dead in our sins and trespasses, at enmity with God, enemies of God. Even while we were enemies of God, in his great love for us, he descended from heaven and ascended the cross and entered into the tomb to become perfectly one with us in our heart if we would receive him. So to confess or speak the word of the Father, of Christ, God, the word of the Father, is to leave the language of the families of the earth, the word of self-interest and its enmity, its wars and rumors of wars, in order to learn how to confess, how to speak the one language of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, which he spoke on the cross. Dear faithful, this is the language of love for one's enemy. As the Lord spoke, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Dear faithful, this language of God, love for the enemy, is the root, is the foundation of our being that has been renewed in the new creation of our blessed Lord's Holy Pascha. It is the language of our being that is new, yet it is from the beginning. For it is the commandment of God by which he created us when he said, "Let us make man in our own image and likeness." It is the divine language of God that we learn to speak when we take up the cross of the church's Lenten disciplines and work to fulfill the oath of our baptism to unite ourselves to Christ in the likeness of his death and resurrection, when at Holy Pascha we are taught to say, "Let us call brother even those who hate us. And in the joy of Christ's holy resurrection, let us forgive all things." Dear faithful, who of us can speak this language in order to do it if the language we are confessing, if the word we are living in, if the word that governs and shapes us is from the city of Babel? The language of spiritual pride, of enmity, of death, the language of the family or of the world created by man. We begin to speak this language of the Holy Spirit first by confessing our sins, speaking the language of God, acknowledging that he's right when he pronounces that we are sinners. Confessing that we do not know this language. For crippled by our spiritual pride, we don't know how to pray. We don't know how to speak as we ought. But how can we learn if we do not come out from behind our masks and bow down in our heart before Christ's cross so that he can teach us? He gives His Holy Spirit to everyone who asks. But how can He give His Holy Spirit to us that we may be found worthy of His heavenly kingdom if we are not leaving the families of the earth in order to take up our cross and crucify our self-love that we may be found in the divine family of all the saints and learn through their prayers how to speak the language of God, of love for the enemy. Most Holy Theotokos, save us. Christ is in our midst. O Lord Almighty, the God of our fathers, we pray thee, hearken unto us.